Blog Talk Radio.
Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program that features some of the folks I consider to be best, brightest, and maybe the most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll ask them about their expertise and their work, and I also want to focus on their inner world, the turning points in their lives, their mentors and influencers, and decisions they made that brought them success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying matrix or pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these decisions can either propel us to greatness or they can lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident many years ago, I discovered how to access these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get a free video on my money techniques and methods at www.moneymatrixmethod.com. Also, be sure to click on the follow button at the show page, which is blogtalkradio.com/logicalsoul, to get a heads up on all our great future interviews. Now, and also as well as you can get the archives from past interviews, so be sure to check that out. Now, my guests were selected because, quite frankly, I find their stories and their lives interesting. I also found out they possess qualities I find rare in an individual, and that is a passion for what they do and the determination to see it through. Most of my guests have obviously made strong decisions early in life that led them to their current successes and achievements. And my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit, discover their pattern of life decisions. This will allow you, as my listeners, to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen and enjoy. After about 10 or 15 minutes or so, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our phone number hotline is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. If you want to get called on, simply press 1 to raise your hand, and I'll be happy to put you on the air so you can ask our guest or me a question. Now, my guest on the show tonight is a first-time guest. He's a real interesting fellow. He's an author. He wrote Escape the Cubicle, How to Leave Your Corporate or Government Job for Something Better. His name is Mark Anthony Germanos, and he's a business author and speaker. I'm going to let him tell you about it, basically. But he's basically someone who has been in the cubicle, apparently, and escaped to forge himself a better life. He tells you also how you can uncover your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities and your threats, and how to create opportunities for yourself that will give you a paying position or a paying job that you create, or a paying opportunity, some or small business, something like that. And I'm going to let him tell you about it. Mark has been a business consultant since 1992 and started his first business in 1997. And he readily admits that business ownership is not for wimps, and he tries to help his clients avoid some of the pitfalls he knows they will face. He's a graduate of Michigan State University, and he moved from Chicago to California in 2000 to restart a business with a cell phone and a Honda Civic as his only assets. And he supports his belief that we're always learning to live a full life. And apparently he's also an active triathlete and lives with his dream wife and a dog, according to his own things there. So I'm going to bring Mark on without further ado. Mark, are you there?
Yes. Good afternoon, Michael, and hello, everybody.
Good afternoon. Now, you're in California now?
Yes, I'm near Sacramento.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, you said afternoon. It's evening here, so it's about 6:07 or so. But that makes sense. You said you're in California. I keep forgetting where people are sometimes when we're on the air.
Because on the internet, sometimes it doesn't matter.
It does. Tomorrow, I have consultations with people in UK and, in Australia and things like that. So a lot of times, juggling the time is interesting. I wanted to ask you, Mark, how did you first of all, obviously you sort of sprung yourself, for lack of a better term, from the cubicle. You got out of your corporate or government job. You started making a life for yourself. How long have you been doing that, or how long has that been going on, and how's it going for you?
I've been doing that 11 years. My last cubicle job was at a bank in downtown Chicago. And there we were, or I was part of a team of webmasters who was responsible for a room full of servers. And the servers, or the server room, was bigger than a tennis court. But I found that my team spent more time with office politics than we did with the fun web server type of work. And I realized that, oh, this is nonsense. You know, if I could just focus on my work and focus less on all the office politics and nonsense that you have to deal with in a large organization, then I'd be a lot happier. Well, also at about the same time, I met Holly, and we decided to move to California. So I left the cubicle job, and I also left Illinois to come out to California, the land of opportunity.
That's great.
And that was back in late 19... No, that was in 2000.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was out in Sacramento, San Francisco area last year, this time of year. It's beautiful out there. It's a perfect place to be, except for the taxes. I don't particularly like some of the taxes they got out there, but and the regulations and things. But
say that we pay to live in California because we pay for good weather. So it's more expensive, but also you can go out on Christmas Day and wash your car, but you can't do that in Chicago.
That's true. I did it in Savannah. I grew up in Savannah, Georgia. You can do that in Savannah. But anyway, the main thing is that you're living a life you want to live, and you're where you want to be, and you're married to who you love, and that's really the most important thing. So I wanted to ask you, was there anything in your early life or something that led you to, say, have an independent streak or have a desire to get what you want? Is there anybody who inspired you, for example, to go for it like that?
Yes, and I'd like to share a story about my days as an intern in Springfield, Illinois. Back when I was a junior in high school, I had this opportunity to sign up to be an intern for the Illinois Governmental Internship Program. And luckily, I was accepted into it. I was one of two from the Chicago area who were able to go down to Springfield. And there I was in a room full of 22 interns and a few adults, and we met the man who was Secretary of State at the time, Jim Edgar. Well, he went on to become governor, and he was a very popular governor. Well, Jim Edgar started the meeting by walking up to every person, introducing himself, looking them in the eye, and asking their name. Then he shook their hand. He did that for every person in the room. Then he talked about what the Secretary of State of Illinois does. And then the meeting came to an end, and then he pointed to each and every person and recited their name. And I thought, wow, here he is remembering 25 names. This is very impressive. So that's something I remember. You know, that was back when I was in high school, back in 1984. So that stuck in my mind for all these years.
Wow.
So, Secretary of State Jim Edgar, who went on to become governor.
That's great. So is he still alive? Is he still around? Or?
I believe he is.
Okay. You might want to send him a note and thank him. I've noticed that people that really affect us in life, if sometimes they just get a little note and saying, you changed my life, thanks for the thought, it really, really makes a difference, not only for them, but also for you as well. That's a great story, Mark. That's a great story. So you learned that trick, now you remember everybody's name, right? Not something many of us are able to do. I can hardly remember my wife's name. She looks at me funny sometimes.
And the funny thing is that I go to networking events and people say, yes, we know you. We met you at a mixer 6 months ago, or we are Facebook friends. And I say, okay, I have 3,000 Facebook friends. Give me more.
Wow. That's great. So what is it that now I know you're doing some public speaking, some business appearances and things like that. When was your book published, Escape the Cubicle?
It officially hit the streets on June 1st. And Escape the Cubicle is available both as a paperback and as an ebook from Smashwords. And Escape the Cubicle happened because I found myself going into different clients and finding things that successful companies were doing right and things that unsuccessful companies were doing right. And I thought, boy, I need some kind of forum where I could stand up and talk about what successful companies are doing right and why they're successful versus the others. You know, I have clients who are very successful, and I have clients who are going bankrupt. And it's almost as if I could walk in and within 10 minutes tell if they're successful or not. Sometimes it's that obvious. Successful companies know where they are on the spectrum. They know where their products fit in compared to their competitors. They know what the industry will look like in 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years. They know if the prices are in line. Whereas the others, who are barely hanging on, don't know where their industry is going, or they don't know what decisions are being made in Springfield. They don't know what marketing works for them or what doesn't work. So the successful companies have consistent trades. The unsuccessful companies have consistent trades. And that is what I put in my first draft of Escape the Cubicle.
That's interesting. I'm sorry, I lost the Skype hung up on me for a second. I had to dial back in, so I missed the first part of your thing. But I think it's on the recording, so it should be fine. At any rate, at least I know from listening to previous podcasts that we didn't lose you, so everybody's going to be able to hear what you just said, even though I missed part of it. So tell me, what does your wife do, by the way, Mark?
My wife is a graphic designer. She stays at home and she stares at a Macintosh. She does graphic design for clients primarily in Chicago and Atlanta. Uh-huh. She's also self-employed, like me. So there are days when we both sit here at a long table. She stares at her Macintosh over on the left. I stare at my Windows 7 computer here on the right.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's
I'm a left brainer. She's a right brainer.
That's the way it's supposed to be, I guess. My wife and I also work at home. She works upstairs in her office, and I've got a sunroom downstairs I'm working at. In fact, I'm looking at it now. It's a great way to be. You know, I worked in a cubicle, I think, once in my life, and that was about 1999 or 2000. And I was helping a friend at the time, and after a while, it just drove me crazy, and I had to leave. So I guess some people are cut out for it, and others just aren't. And I guess most people aren't designed. I mean, human beings aren't designed to live in a cubicle, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at a list of 10 businesses in the same trait, same niche, like plumbers or electricians, mm-hmm. Well, out of that 10, you may have four or five who are running the business from a fourth bedroom. It's so easy to start a business out of a house and then just make it look like you're much bigger than one person these days. You need internet access, a computer, and a cell phone, and then pow, you're up and running.
You know, that's true. You know, that's true. And we take it for granted here in the States. And my wife's from Germany, and I talked to, mm-hmm. you know, I go over to Germany. We're going to go over there for Christmas again. It's beautiful in Christmas, by the way. But I noticed that in Europe, I mean, I only know about Germany, but other European nations are basically the same, and that is there's so much regulation and there's so many fees about, you know, restricting businesses, particularly in houses or where you live, that people just don't do that. You know, you've got so much red tape to jump through to be able to start a business at home that unless you want to do it under the cover, and then in case if anybody finds out, you're in big trouble. So it's like an entirely different world out there. And most people, mm-hmm. I'm not saying all European countries, but a lot of them have a lot of those regulations where businesses are protected and, you know, it's a high entry fee, in other words, to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with driver's licenses and things like that. It costs like $2,000 to get a driver's license in Europe. So people don't know how lucky we are in the States. So what you're saying is very applicable. That yeah, if you have an idea, if you have a passion, go out there and just start a business. Just start doing whatever it is that you love and, you know, develop a business plan, obviously, but do it. What else do you want to share about that, about your book and some of the insights that you have from the book, Mark?
Well, I'd like to share how I'm an advocate of being self-employed. I think that everybody has their own board of directors. Now, I say board of directors and people say, yeah, I report to a board because I work for a Fortune 500. But really, you have a board of directors when you look in the mirror. You have AP and you have AR, and you also have collections. You know, if you're running your own business and you have clients who haven't paid you in 30 days, you have to put on the hat of a collections manager. You also have a training department. You have to decide what you're going to learn, especially in my profession of being a computer nerd. Boy, oh boy, I have email, blogs, and newsletters every day coming across my desk. It's not a question of what do I want to learn. Instead, it's what do I not want to learn.
Uh-huh.
You know, I do my SWOT analysis speeches, and I say, I have a weakness. I intentionally chose to not learn the Macintosh. And I know that's a risk because I could have people calling me saying, can you help me with my Mac? And I'd say, uh-huh. No, I decided back in 2004 to not touch them. But I think that has been a good risk that I took because I get very few calls from Mac support. If I get two per year, it's a lot.
Oh. That's interesting. You bring a good point, Mark, and that is especially these days on the internet, most people think, well, the broader I go, the more customers I'm going to get. And actually, the opposite is true.
Yeah, and Patrick Schwartzberger says that you go narrow and you go deep, which means that you identify a very specific niche, and then you take that niche to the bank. You market yourself heavily as filling that niche. I don't think anybody can be a generalist anymore. Instead, you have to be a specialist and then market yourself very aggressively as that specialist. Hello, Michael. Still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still. I got dropped again. I think Skype and Ronnie don't get along too well for some reason.
Okay. There's something else that I was thinking about in our chat before our recording started, and that is that I write thank you letters. And the general idea is that when you have a goal, you write a letter from you to you, dated 1 year from the current day. You list your objective. You list the benefits of that objective, and then you list the obstacles that you overcame. So let's suppose I wrote this today. I would send it from me to me, and I would date it October 25, 2012. Let's suppose I had an objective of become self-employed. I would start by saying, I want to thank you for having the courage to become self-employed. I would list some benefits. They could be, you have more free time. You have more control over your schedule. You're able to spend more time with your family. You're happier. And you have more money coming in. Then I would list obstacles that you overcame. That would include going to classes after work. It would include saving enough cash to start your business. It would include dealing with friends who said, you're going to be self-employed. Forget that idea. Continue working for the post office or wherever you work. Hang in there for the pension. So you overcame some obstacles. And I think when you claim a goal, then you already create the energy to make it happen.
That's true. That's true. If that works for you, have you found that working for you? Does that work well for you?
Yes, it did. And I have multiple letters. I had one for learning how to scuba dive. I had one for getting my Microsoft certification. I have one for putting together a third book, which is going to be marketed more for people who are already running their businesses, whereas Escape is for people who are stuck in a corporate job, but they haven't quit yet.
Right. You bring up an interesting point, Mark. You mentioned the goal thing, and I've got following a program by Raymond Aron. I don't know if you've heard of him, called The Monthly Mentor. He created this whole program where basically he says that And I understand it now, whereas it used to frustrate the heck out of me because I'd set a goal and then I wouldn't achieve it, set another goal and wouldn't achieve it, and set another. And finally, you get like where you just get frustrated. Are you ever frustrated by setting a goal and then you don't achieve that?
I think I'm frustrated when I set a goal, but I find that what I'm doing has nothing to do to contribute to the goal. I live in an area where we have a lot of oak trees, and sure enough, when winter comes along, Mother Nature knocks down the oak trees. Branches don't fall. Instead, trees just get uprooted. So I may find myself out there in the rain with a chainsaw, and then I'm saying, I'm running a business here. How is cutting this tree apart helping me run my business? It's not part of the solution, but yet it's something you have to do. So you end up with these obstacles that interfere with your primary goal. But you also have to remember what you're trying to pursue and then get back on track.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm really having some technical difficulties here. I got kicked off again. I was saying that for me, there was a binary part of goal setting where you either achieve the goal or you don't. And what I discovered was that the yes-no thing, and if I get kicked off again, I think I'll scream. I'm going to call back on my cell phone. But anyway, I noticed that with the yes-no thing, that a lot of times they set up a multi-tiered goal-setting thing. For example, Raymond Aron says to set three goals for the same objective, a minimum. Like if you're going to clean out your garage, a minimum would be, well, take the spare tire out to the curb. That would be a minimum. A normal or average goal would be, take the you know, clean up half the garage or move all the stuff out to the curb. A third part of that goal would be an outrageous part of it, which means clear out all the stuff and put up shelves and put them neatly on the shelf. So you have like a three-tiered goal setting things. And then you have points for each one. So when you add up the points, you get more points, the higher the outrageousness of your goal. That seems to work for me. I love that system. But however you do it, you know, you need to set goals and you need to make sure that you're measuring those goals and, you know, making progress in that direction. So however it works for you, it really is best way.
Yeah, I think you have to know what you're pursuing. It could be what you're pursuing in your personal life or what you're pursuing in your professional life. You know, one good thing about being a student is that you know what you're pursuing. Back in high school, I was pursuing the high school diploma. When I went to Michigan State, I was pursuing my bachelor's degree in 4 years. When I was pursuing my Microsoft certification, I said, I want this wrapped up for December 31. And sure enough, I took my final test on December 30th. So if you have a goal and a deadline, then your chances of making it happen increase dramatically. There are a lot of people out there who say, I'm going to set a goal of becoming self-employed, but they don't put any kind of deadline on it, and they don't identify what the benefits look like. Then they find the goal gets preempted or it gets forgotten. Then you end up looking in the mirror 10 years later and saying, whatever happened to this goal of becoming self-employed? Oh, I forgot. Life got in the way.
Right. It has to be on the frontier. It has to be something you're passionate about to start with, or else you're just not going to follow through. And that's why it's so important to do what you're passionate about. It's like if you're working in a cubicle, like you said, it's hard to be passionate about much of anything, is it?
Yeah, because you kind of get drained. It's as if the cubicle drains your creativity. And why is it that cubicles are usually gray or an off shade of brown? You know, the cubicle makers create all these dull colors. It's as if they're trying to drain creativity. I never understood why cubicles were gray and brown or shades of off-white. And something else on my list here is the SWOT analysis. And I do a lot of speeches on the SWOT analysis. And the general idea is that you can sit down and look at your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we all have them. We all have them in our personal lives. We all have them in our professional lives. And if you just sit down with a piece of paper and you draw a grid, then you can identify where you are strong and where you are weak. You can also identify what opportunities are waiting for you. Now, as a small business owner, you may say, well, there's new development, or there are new contractors coming to town. I should partner up with them. You also should identify your weaknesses, which, of course, would be issues that affect your ability to survive. Now, the SWOT analysis is not my idea, and if you Google SWOT analysis, you'll find a lot of people who have written about SWOT, including me. I got my information from the University of New Mexico. So SWOT analysis is out there. It's in the public domain. It was created at Stanford Research Institute. Back in the 60s, Fortune 500s realized that their corporate planning was failing. They went to Stanford Research Institute and they said, why is this happening and what can we do about it? Then Stanford Research Institute came back with a SWOT analysis, and the adoption has been pretty widespread. Small businesses use it. Fortune 500s use it. Countries use it. I once read a SWOT analysis for the country of Vietnam, so it's pretty widespread. It's one of my most valuable tools, and as luck would have it, there's no cost to do a SWOT analysis. You can all find the information online by doing a Google search for SWOT, S-W-O-T.
That's S-W-O-T?
Yes, S-W-O-T, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats.
That's a good bit of information, Mark. Appreciate that.
It's in the public domain. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I got kicked off of the internet. I mean, I got kicked off of Skype again, so I'm using my wife's cell phone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Hopefully the show will go on and we'll continue as before. I've got to do something about this technical problem because Skype just keeps murdering me every time I have a show these days. I don't know why. At any rate, we're still on the air, so Let me see here.
I hope there's not wireless involved.
Wireless? No, I think there's a it's just a Skype and a Vonage problem.
Oh.
So at any rate, let's get on here. I wanted to I was just about to say Mark Germanos, author of Escape the Cubicle, and give them your website, Mark, so they can go there and check it out, what you've got to offer.
I have multiple websites, but for the book, you can visit escapethecubiclebook.com. That forwards you to Amazon, where you can buy the book. Or you can go to escapethecubicle.biz, which will take you to a page that lets you download the first two chapters for free as a PDF. The price is $15. And if you're looking at Amazon and you see them listing it at $29.95, just go ahead and buy it and then send me your receipt through email, and I will send you a Starbucks gift card to make up the difference in the price. So your end price will be $15.
Great. So that's
I changed the price at Amazon. I changed the price at Amazon, but for some reason there's this 30-day delay. So your end price will be $15.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So it's called EscapeTheCubicleBook.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. And just
for the printed version.
Is for the download the chapters there. Okay,
to download
anything else you want
the first two chapters, you go to EscapeTheCubicle.biz. There you can either buy the ebook or you can download the first two chapters at no cost. It's a PDF.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you've done a market survey, you've done your own business analysis and stuff. Where do you find most of your income coming from, Mark, in your own business, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's coming as a result of my embrace of social media. Now, for many years, I deployed firewalls that blocked access to websites in the categories of adult crime, personals, and dating. And, of course, that would include Facebook, MySpace, LinkedIn, and Twitter. But then I went to a conference in October of 2009. I met people who were using social media as a business tool, not just a toy. Then I came back and said, oh, my God, I need to change my view. So now I'm giving speeches on social media. And then I sat down about a month ago to determine how much business I brought in because I had a new view of social media. And the answer is $41,000 of business.
Wow,
so the difference in me going from no on social media to yes, you need to use social media as a business tool is $41,000 of business for my business. I know people are out there saying, oh, social media, that's for kids. That's a time waster. That's not going to help me run my business. Well, if that's how you use it, then yes, it will be a time waster. But if you use it as a business tool, you'll find that you can connect with other people who are either in your niche or are prospects. If you use it as a tool, you'll find that it'll help you run your business better. Now, through social media, I find networking groups. There's one called the Sacramento Speakers Network. And when I found this group, I didn't even have my first book out yet. But when you're in a room full of speakers and authors, then you kind of get this motivation to write and publish your first book. And now here we're talking about Escape the Cubicle. That's my second book. So I think you'll find that when you embrace social media, it can be what you want it to be. It could be a time waster. It could be a place where you can find love, or it can be a very valuable business tool that you use to attract customers and earn more business.
Okay. Well, excellent. Mark, I appreciate you sharing that information. It's very good information. I hope our listeners have gotten it. If you can get more information at, escapethecubiclebook.com or .biz. And Mark Germanos, you've been an excellent guest. I appreciate you being on the show, man. And as I said, if you want more information, you can get Mark's book. What was the name of your blog, by the way? Go ahead and give them that so they'll have that.
You can go to markanthonygermanos.com. That forwards you to a WordPress blog, and I'm contributing almost every day there. And, of course, I'm going to the comments, too.